Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where former Cybertruck owners talk about all things electric vehicles, technology, and today we have Chase here with me. My name's Eric. Chase, how's it going today?
Pretty good. Just been busy. A lot of stuff going on the last couple of weeks, but mostly just family.
Yeah, we took a few weeks off. There was one week where I think it was just one of those things where just taking a break, and then I kind of got bombarded with graduations, I believe, I don't know, last week or the week before. I got bombarded with a bunch of graduations, so it was just a crazy week for me, so I decided to just take that week off as well. But
it's the season.
Yeah, that's around the time that we're in right now. But there's a lot going on. There's a lot of news. One thing that we want to talk about is how superchargers are being removed in New Jersey. So that's something we want to talk about. How about the $50,000 Cybertruck? Is it finally here?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. There's a new EV truck. It seems like every time we do an episode, there's another EV truck being announced. And also another EV, but slightly different, that I want to kind of show as well. And then also, there's been a new update to the Hummer, and the 2026 Hummer EV is getting some updates and upgrades that I wish I had in my Hummer. So we'll talk about that. And then also, obviously, we are in June. It's June 4th as of this recording, and we are officially in RoboTaxi month. So I want to dive deep into that and kind of just talk about what we expect and what's kind of out there in the news and some of the ridiculousness of what news outlets are reporting already. We were talking about that before we went live. So let's go ahead and just kind of get started with the RoboTaxi, because I think that's the big thing for this month. And
I hear it's killing people. It's the robots have gone rogue, and now we're at the demise of RoboTaxis.
Yeah. So what Chase is alluding to is a report that we came up with during our research for tonight's episode. And mysanantonio.com has a really big headline here that says, with 51 reported deaths, how safe are Tesla RoboTaxis?
Well, clearly not that safe. I mean, come on. But
It clearly states in here, let me try to find it, but it states that as of October of 2024, there have been a reported 51 reported fatalities due to Tesla's autopilot and full self-driving.
Read that again, because that's the important thing that they're really trying to milk.
Yes. I'm going to read it verbatim. It says, how safe are Tesla's RoboTaxis? The RoboTaxis rely on Tesla's autopilot and full self-driving software, which has been linked to hundreds of non-fatal incidents and 51 reported fatalities as of October 2024.
Right, which already we know RoboTaxis don't use Tesla's autopilot. It uses full self-driving. So they're trying to pull possible accidents, maybe due to autopilot, not full self-driving, and try to make that correlation connection for clickbait.
100%. Clickbait is a thing, and they are running away with this. But yeah, it's, you know, they're using the Tesla autopilot as something to reference as far as these incidents and fatalities. Even full self-driving. I mean, full self-driving has been out for years, and so obviously those numbers are going to include all of the early days of FSD. And as we all know, the RoboTaxis, official RoboTaxis, are going to have the newest and latest technology. If we haven't learned anything from Mark Rober's video, this should be it, right? That if you use old technology, there is going to be some issues, so to speak. But if you're using Tesla's latest and greatest, it performs really, really, really well.
Right. Especially in conjunction with hardware 4, which is, I think that's kind of where a lot of these are pulling data from fatal accidents around that time before hardware 4 came out. And then obviously the latest FSD pushes. Like, I think that it's undeniable that hardware 4 with the latest FSD is by like leaps and bounds where it was even just a year ago, let alone 2 years ago, that people are trying to make these connections to. So definitely not going to run in through like an Acme wall or run over any kids through a fire hose anytime soon. That's for sure.
So what Chase is referring to is, you know, the big thing, the biggest competition to robo-taxis are Waymos, right? Mm-hmm. And a video surfaced earlier this week.
Yeah. And they're honestly, Waymos are all over Austin right now. Like, I went to downtown the other day and I ran through four that I passed, like within like a few blocks. Like, they're all over the place. And I'm almost confident that this is also in Austin, because the last few weeks we've had a lot of really bad thunderstorms. And we had some that were like severe flooding kind of thunderstorms. So this looks like to be part of downtown.
Yeah, you obviously know the area a lot more than I. But for anybody that's not watching us and is listening to us, what we're showing is there's a video that surfaced on TikTok of a Waymo driving down a street, and there was some massive flooding. I mean, you could see at more than half of the tires and wheels are submerged into the water. And this Waymo just drives right into the water, finally stops, and the passenger, you know, obviously is is concerned. He sticks his head out the window and is like, "But what the heck just happened?"
I'll give Waymo a little credit that the fact that it stopped there and just stayed there, but I mean, that's still not a great place to be. Like, there's a saying down here that they keep saying, you know, turn around, don't drown, because it's a real issue with like the flooding around in Austin, because there's certain roads that you could wash out and your car's down the river if you're not careful. So like, this is a serious issue. Like, surprised it's not gotten more attention.
Well, if you look at it, I know you mentioned it stopping, but it kind of looks like it loses traction. It looks like it loses its footing a little bit. I don't know if that's just because it was braking, or maybe the wheels kind of, you know, enough water got underneath in between the street and the tire to kind of force it to stop.
But it's just kind of par for the course, where we had, you know, the Mark Rober video where we're directly comparing LiDAR to FSD, and they're like, look how bad FSD is compared to LiDAR, and LiDAR is going to save these kids, and yet apparently they didn't try to drive it through a lake, because it completely fails at that point, or at least for Waymo's case.
Yeah, Mark Rober, be better.
We need more testing.
You need to drive it through enough water that you can swim in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could pull up at least the image from the Bloomberg article, where they tried to directly compare Waymo versus FSD. And I was shocked to learn that Waymo's vehicles have more cameras on them than Tesla do.
Yeah.
Which it's just kind of makes this even worse. Like you have more cameras, yet your algorithm can't see water and slow down to stop before you hit it.
Yeah. We're now showing an image of Tesla Model 3, and it's showing you how many, I guess, sensors, which Tesla uses cameras. Mm-hmm. And it's showing that a Model 3 has 8 cameras, as opposed to a Waymo, it specifically states a 5th-gen Jaguar I-Pace, that has 14 cameras, 6 radars, 4 LiDARs, for a total of 24 sensors. Yeah. And I think, and we're going to find out for sure, but I think the Tesla is going to outperform that Waymo 10 out of 10 times, if I put my money on it.
Yeah, it's not the amount of cameras that you have, it's how you're using them and how your algorithm is incorporated with it. I will mention, though, something that popped up in the last couple weeks, that the radar cameras that are up towards the top of the vehicle, if you're ever like out taking footage of these Waymos, don't get too close, because those radars will start burning little dots into your phone's camera. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, it's a real thing. Like, people have tried this, where they've like taken footage and went up to that radar camera, and it starts burning little dots into their camera lens.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that.
Which is not great if they're looking for like that influencer, you know, marketing.
Yeah, that's why aren't we talking about that? Why isn't that
hold on, I'll bring it
on
up.
on a headline from mysanantonio.com? Aren't they talking about how those radars are damaging people's phones, and who knows what they do to our bodies, you know?
Oh, here we go. So, correction, it was on a Volvo EX90. So it's that the LiDAR camera that they're using. I see. Hold on. But still something to look out for. Like, those cameras are doing damage. I was just saying the link.
While you're pulling that up, Chris is in chat saying, "Hey guys, formerly known as Cybertruck owners, missed you." Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Hey, well, Chris, you know what? Since you bring that up, Chris,
I was going to say, that's a good segue.
You were a Cybertruck guy for a few days. Chris got one of the, took advantage of the 48-hour test drive that Tesla was offering. And so I know he was posting some pictures and videos of him with the Cybertruck. So I want to know from you, Chris, how'd you enjoy that Cybertruck? What are your thoughts? So let us know. Yeah, let me pull up this video now that we kind of got off a little bit, but let me pull this up. So this is the radar?
The LiDAR.
The LiDAR. Okay, let's see. I muted it already.
But the LiDAR on the Volvo EX90 that they've got on the top, you can start to see it starts burning little dots as it's flashing, and that's in the phone camera.
Oh, that's weird. That is very odd. Okay, well,
but something to keep your phone for, just not too close.
Yeah, don't get too close to the LiDAR sensors. Another thing that I want to talk about is talking about Cybertrucks and people test driving Cybertrucks and wanting to buy Cybertrucks. Well, how about if we told you that you can get a Cybertruck for less than $60,000? Would that be something that you'd want to do? And you can, or you could have, because there was somebody selling a used Cybertruck. It had a little less than 24,000 miles, which I know we've talked about many, many times on the podcast about how with EVs, mileage doesn't matter as much. And they are selling this Cybertruck that has a wrap.
Good looking wrap with it.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like a forest green.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
But it has a wrap on it. It has a roof rack, and it's going for $59,401, which
crazy. It's the lowest we've seen to date. But it's just kind of news that it's at least moving in the right direction. I know for owners it's not the right direction, but buyers it's the right direction.
No,
I think that's a great price for it.
Well, there's a dealership. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but there's a dealership down the street from me that has a Cybertruck there on their lot, and it's been there for over a month, at least a month. Let's just say that it's been there for a month, and it has a wrap on it. They even wrapped the bumper and everything is wrapped the same color. So it kind of looks pretty cool, but it's been sitting there for at least a month. And I think I went online and I checked to see how much they were selling it for. And it was like 90 something thousand. And I was like, yeah,
pipe dream.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but yeah, when we start getting to these numbers on a used one, I think you mentioned Chase, that once they get to a certain point, I don't remember exactly what number you threw out there.
I said 55. So, I mean, it's getting really close.
We're getting close. We're going to call you out on that.
So, I mean, the thing is that I just checked. So, this is a dealership out in, was it Dublin, Ohio?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's gone. It obviously, that moved. There's no way that sat in the lot that for that long with that price. Or they're trying to get you in the door. And it's one of those, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I was having a conversation with my sister, not about cars, it was about recreational vehicles. I mentioned to her that's what dealerships will do. You know, they'll advertise, they'll buy something, or they'll put it on their lot. It's only there to get people to come in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not really motivated to sell it. Mm-hmm. It's just something to get people in the door.
I forgot to save it, but I saw one dealership do that with a Hummer EV. They marked it down to like 8,000 or something stupid. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, that's 100%. They're just trying to get you into the door. Like,
yeah, that was a funny one.
It's employee pricing. You're never going to get
for that. They're like, is this for real? I remember some guy posted, do you guys think this is real? And somebody else responded and go, do you think they're really selling? you know, or whatever, $90,000 $8,000. No, I don't think so. Hugo's in chat, says what's up. So what's up, man? Hugo, glad to have you here as always. Chris responded and said, actually I did the secret 24-hour drive before they did the official 48-hour drives. Ooh. Cybertruck is so fun to drive, but I think I'm more of a sedan guy. Would love to own one for trips and off-road.
100% off-road. Because, yeah, I think it's really cool that they're offering the 48-hour tours, I guess you could say. Because a lot of people were complaining that, oh, this is going to kill Turo, which I think it would eat into that, you know, curiosity Turo buyer. But if anything, it's, you know, it's kind of a nice way to go have a good, you know, date night with the Cybertruck for the weekend. Take a trip with a day trip.
Yeah.
You can do so many things with that.
It's, yeah. Have you looked into the Turo market for Cybertrucks? Because I know you were doing that for a while, and we were kind of tracking it for a bit, but then, you know, I wonder if that's just totally just dead. I would assume so.
I'll let you know.
But let me get into the next thing, which I want to show. There's a new EV truck that has been announced, like I mentioned in the intro. Seems to be a weekly thing. There's a new EV truck being announced. But this one actually looks pretty cool. I think, well, lately they've all looked pretty cool. Let me pull this one up real quick.
Say even Slate looked cool, but
no, Slate's cool.
Oh, but the Kia one, that's right.
Yeah, the Kia has announced an EV truck that they, so remember, the Kia announced the Kia Tasman, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that was only in Australia, I think. Yeah, I think it was only in Australia. So this one, this is a Kia truck that is coming to North America. So this would be something that's going to hit us here in the States, which is pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, it looks very much like a Tacoma to me. It kind of has that look. But right, well, actually, this is the Tasman. But yeah, that's it's kind of cool just to see that more and more trucks are coming out, EV trucks, that people are really seeing there's a need for that. There's a market for that. And as always, Tesla kind of started this when they made the announcement for the Cybertruck. And I'm just excited about it because then we're going to push everybody to give more range, more off-road capabilities, lower the pricing, and make things more competitive. And that ultimately benefits the buyer. So happy to see that Kia is bringing an EV truck to the United States. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I hope all these industry staple manufacturers making EV trucks at least puts a little bit more pressure on Tesla for the next iteration of the Cybertruck to really kind of hone in on those, like, the small things that really add up, you know, like the power in the frunk, a power tailgate even would be great. Like, there's so many little things that you have in these trucks that I feel like you're missing out in Cybertruck.
Chase, how about a rearview mirror that's a camera, that's a screen?
That'd be great too.
You know me, easy. I'm never gonna give that up.
So I do have an update on the Turo market.
Okay.
Interesting enough, it looks like the neighbor that I had, he put up his Cybertruck like the week or two before we put up our Cybertruck. He's still up and running at $167 a day. He's had 64 trips total in the last year or so. Another truck about the same, 72 trips. But I mean, there's now how many? Like 11 Cybertrucks available in Austin? Anywhere from 167 all the way up to 300, like just under 300 a day. Okay. And that's for a Cyber Beast. So 284, you can get a Cyber Beast. So
definitely not the 1,000 or 1,500 or whatever was the crazy prices that were in the beginning, right?
It's definitely come down, and I think what's more telling, like I said, are the people that have been doing it since the beginning. Like, you can even do the math on what 64 trips, how much money they've actually made over the course of the year. And it's definitely not enough to pay for the Cybertruck Foundation Series, that's for sure.
If you don't mind me asking, what was the most you charged per day?
$1,200.
And someone paid that?
Yeah. it was for one day, and they extended like another half a day because they wanted to like give it back late. It was actually a music video they had rented it out, and that was the one that had the Playboy model in it. Yeah, they were doing like a whole big thing, so good. They don't times, really care, right?
Good times.
But realistically, the most, what was it? The most we charged on Turo, because that was actually off Turo with our own insurance. Shoot, it was like $8.50 a day was like the highest we got on Turo. But when we jumped on, like, numbers were coming down really fast, because what was happening is that people were literally like charging up to $1,000 a day on Turo, which, by the way, it maxes out at $1,500. You can't charge more than that, but people were still like trying to push it up there. But people would come in, put their Cybertruck on Turo, and then undercut people by like $100 or $200 just to get bids.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was coming down pretty fast from the peak. Like, it only took about 2 months for it to come back down into like the 500s. So
still, it's crazy. Geez. That's pretty penny for someone crazy to say just to drive a car.
Yeah, I don't think I have my old data. Apparently, is not in my Turo account. Otherwise, that'd have been something I could pull up. But I think I've shared it. I could probably pull it up from old images. But yeah, I think total before we sold, I think we made about 14 to 15,000 of the truck in what, 8 months.
That's not bad.
So it basically just paid for itself. Yeah, it was a nice tax write off.
Yeah, you were able to pay for the truck, and then you got to drive it.
Yep.
You had some fun.
Totally.
I wanted to show a new EV that has been unveiled, and it's not what you would expect. Let me show you. So this is Lumina, and they have unveiled the first fully electric bulldozer. Yeah.
Okay.
It's called the Moonlander. It has an 8 to 10 hour of runtime. It weighs 32 tons. 0 to 80% charge in 50 minutes, up to 300 kilowatt charging speeds. What else is in there? 360 degree cameras, 750 horsepower over there. Updates, some pretty cool stuff. But yeah, you know, we've talked about and we've shown boats, electric boats.
This is
cool. Obviously, there's cars, but now there's an electric bulldozer. And I think your son would really be into this.
You love this.
So let's go ahead and play the video real quick.
Like, I want one.
And it just looks cool, right?
LiDAR. That's okay. That makes sense.
The world is going electric.
Yep. It does bulldozer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, does this post talk a little bit more about it? Because I was trying to figure out, like, wait, what, is there a market for, like, EV bulldozers? Like, I didn't explain. But if you look, I think they mentioned it here.
It says right here that the owner wants to compete with caterpillars of the construction industry by building the Tesla of bulldozers. Uh-huh.
Moonlander's autonomous capabilities. So that makes more sense. They're going to be
the Tesla approach by building everything from the hardware and software stack in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, like we were talking about, right? FSD, and that's what kind of makes it different is the fact that Tesla is just really developing it all from the ground up to work together, and that's what separates them. Yeah, the autonomous capabilities is currently raising 20 to 40 million for its Series A round.
It's pretty low, actually, for this kind of project. Yeah,
for somebody who's really just like doing everything in house, that is mm-hmm. kind of, you know, they'll probably up that at some point.
That's cool.
The start date goal is January 2026, so not too far from now.
Manned teleoperational autonomously. Is that? So I wonder if it is going to be completely autonomous, or if it's just going to be like you can just sit down on a computer somewhere and just drive this thing around remotely.
That's what it sounds like to me. Almost like what we're talking about with the big wheels, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about that off air before you were talking about your son's birthday and how he got a trampoline, but he's only 3. And I was talking about how my son, when he was, I don't know, 2 years old or so,
mm-hmm.
somebody in my family bought him a big wheel. And it's like, he's only 2 or whatever he was.
Yeah.
It's like, he can't. And you were talking about the new technology of now they have remote controls.
So yeah.
A kid could be in it and you can be driving this thing around like an RC car.
Yeah. He's got a backhoe that, yeah, I can control it and I can drive him around.
Yeah.
If it was the kind of the case that, like you said, where he got it for his birthday and he was not old enough for it yet, but he still wanted to play with it. So I just sat him in it and I just started driving around. So he could just literally like sit there and it's driving him around, but he's now he drives chilling. It all over the place.
And then, you know, it's the funny part about that is he's going to grow up in this world of autonomous driving.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to look at it and go, I've never driven anything in my life. My dad was right there sitting there driving my car. And now, you know, he's 16 years old, 18 years mm-hmm. old, whatever. And he's going to go, yeah, cars just drive themselves. Like, yeah, this is just what has always been.
Yeah. Especially EVs too. Like, yeah, I never would imagine, but it's cool.
Yeah, that is actually really cool. So yeah, the bulldozer, that's, you know, it's interesting because I wouldn't have ever guessed, at least not right now. You know, there seems to be a real pushback against EVs from mm-hmm. a lot of people that I would have never guessed that there was going to be an EV bulldozer, but here we go. And who knows if it actually hits the market, but I hope they do, as always. You know, I want them to succeed. So
yeah, because it would probably be a stepping stone to everything else, like an excavator and all the other things, you know, just, whatever you can put on tracks.
It gets the ball rolling, right?
So yeah.
That's what we want. Talking about these new EVs, the EV truck, EV bulldozer, I wanted to also cover something, which was the 2026 Hummer EV is making some changes. Obviously, I just took delivery of my Hummer EV recently. And of course, in typical fashion, I buy something and they make an announcement weeks later that, hey, guess what? We're going to make some improvements.
Should call up the dealer and be like, did you screw me?
You know,
like, did it, you know
it,
something?
It makes sense why he called me and said, hey, guess what?
I got a great deal.
Hell of a deal for you, you know? Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks, Alex. But so right here, you could see the 2026. It looks the same. It doesn't look any different. The mileage, there's some increase on the truck EV. I have the SUV, so it doesn't really hurt me too much. I think mine is rated for 315 miles. This one's saying 319, but they're upping the horsepower. They're doing what they call now King Crab. So I'm going to go ahead and show you that as well. They're doing a carbon fiber edition, which is replacing some of the exterior trim pieces with carbon fiber, which the reason why they're doing that is because they want to lower the weight of the truck. And by lowering the weight, they're now capable of doing a 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds, which is crazy.
Nice.
The Hummer is a massive, heavy vehicle as it is, even
right.
with carbon fiber. So that's really crazy. They're doing some cool new interior stuff that I could show you. Obviously, they have the four-wheel steer. They have what the crab walk, which is what I have, but they're now doing what they call King Crab. And with that, I guess what they're kind of sitting there saying is what that's going to be really useful for is for the off-roaders. The rear wheels are going to turn when
two
enabled
times
into
more.
King Crab. It's going to, yeah, up to two times more than the front wheels. And what that's going to really do is give you the capability of really maneuvering and turning your Hummer in a different direction to get mm-hmm. out of some possible sticky situations. And anybody that knows the Hummer, it's a pretty big vehicle. It's very wide. So having this capability is really cool. I am happy that they did announce that this would be an over-the-air update for previous year and versions of the Hummer. So I should get this since mine is a 2025. But yeah, they have that. They have some new interior colors. I have this color. This is mine. But they have this darker brown and then this red Velocity Ember.
Nice. It actually reminds me of when early days of the Cybertruck, one of the first over-the-air updates was actually to make the back wheels turn even further. Like yep. They yes. shortened the turning radius by like a few feet or a couple feet.
They did do that. Now, so this is where I'm a little jealous of the 2026. All those other things, like I said, the King Crab's supposed to become to mine. Mm-hmm. There's the new colors, not too worried about that. The speed, I'm not too worried about that either. I'm not a speed demon, so not a big deal for me. But one thing that they are doing is they are going to replace the interior screen. They're going to go, I believe, from a 13 point something to a 15 inch infotainment mm-hmm. screen. But the bigger thing is the actual software for the infotainment center is going to be updated, which is going to be quicker and faster to navigate. Mine is a little slow. I know on the internet, a lot of people talk about that. When I bought mine, I got a lot of comments about that. Oh, you're going to hate the infotainment. It's not that bad, but it's not as quick and fast as the Cybertrucks.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. But they are getting that. And then you're getting the home, what is it called? The home charging, the ability to get the battery and charge up your home in a power outage.
That's
something
one.
That they're doing on the 2026. Once again, I'm not too big on that as far as I paid for that to be installed with the Cybertruck. And to this day, it's still not up and running.
I'd use it. I feel like there's so many times
you have that
getting close.
You have that issue more than I do with power outages, of course, but
and internet too. Literally last night, our internet service provider they'll just do like an update, like in the middle of the night. Like they'll shut off at midnight and keep it off till like 5 a.m. But they won't even tell us when they're going to do it. So that happened to me last night when I was up with the baby. And my internet went out. I'm like, well, shoot, what am I going to do? So I threw the Starlink out in the back and I was just back up in line. But like the fact that I've had to do that now with the Starlink a couple of times is kind of annoying. But
and what is the reason for that?
For
the internet. Like, why is the internet? Why are they turning off the internet?
To do maintenance in the lines or whatnot? I don't know. Who knows? But
okay.
Either way. But yeah, there was one thing about the Hummer I was going to say. Infotainment. Being a little slow, I kind of have the same feeling with the F-150. Like it is kind of not as responsive as Tesla for sure. But I feel like that's something they could easily do a swap if you took it into the dealership. You know, unless it's
you would think
hardware
so.
Issue too.
Like you said, it's one of those things where Tesla, when it comes to Teslas, they're just way ahead of everybody when it comes to their software. And once again, like when I was out looking at vehicles other than the Cybertruck and looking at a possible replacement to my Cybertruck, I understood that I wasn't going to find software better than the Cybertruck. And I understood I wasn't going to get autonomous driving that was going to be better than the Cybertruck. And I just knew that. So I never went in fully going, hey, are you going to be able to have better software and better autonomous driving, because I already knew the answer to that. So I since I knew that, I wasn't overly disappointed when it, you know, is a little laggy at times, but it's really not that bad. It's like first world problems, right? It's like, what are we crying about? I understand $100,000 car, it should have the fastest, best, and all that. I do understand that, but it has a lot of other things that I value more that I enjoy than a screen that I'm not really messing around with. I'm just driving. So the screen.
Like hooks in the frunk for your groceries.
Yeah.
Like the little things.
Yeah. The little things in life that matter. Right. But, oh, another thing that they did on the 2026 that I will say this, that this is disappointing is with the Super Cruise right now, when you're driving it, you have to manually tell it when to change lanes. Even when Super Cruise is enabled. Now in the 2026, when you enter a destination, it will automatically kind of go through the traffic and change lanes for you. So that's an improvement that I won't have that the new one will. So that's kind of cool. But you know what? You talked about Starlink, and I wanted to talk about this. This was something that I seen before we came on today. And I think this
Yeah, there's cool. been some new news. Starlink.
So right here. So Starlink, SpaceX has launched a more rugged Starlink performance terminal for better in-motion connectivity, such as on cars and boats. Designed for resilient connectivity in remote areas, harsh environments, extreme weather, high vibration settings, and in-motion usage. So what they really wanted to kind of dial in was when it's moving and you're bumping and bouncing around, that the connection stay strong. And that's kind of what they're really, really honing in on and improving. So the specs here shows, we'll kind of skim through this real quick, is up to 400 megabytes per second, which is great. Future network enhancements will enable gigabit speed starting in the most remote places on Earth with a performance kit. Surface plan upgrades will be available 2026. No hardware changes needed. Capable of enduring winds up to 170 miles per hour. because that's what we're in America, temperatures of negative 40 to 140 degrees, enhanced snow melting capability, IP56 and IP69K waterproof ratings, advanced power supply, 10-year mission life warranty. So cool. They're Hail really rating? Just improving it. I mean, it does come with a price tag
of
$2,000. But for people that are constantly doing that type of stuff, or, I mean, even they reference, you put it on a boat, you know, you put it on a boat for if you're, you know, somebody that does something, has a business, some type of commercial line where you're taking people out to sea and they need internet. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, definitely go check out both on X and Instagram, Sailing with Phoenix. I don't know if you saw that guy. It's okay. He basically, I think he's early 30s. He liquidated his 401k. No, he's late 20s. He liquidated his 401k and bought a sailing boat and left from Portland to sail around the world. And he just recently, last week, made it to Hawaii after like 23, 24 days at sea. But like he's never sailed before. He learned how to sail along the way, basically with YouTube. But yeah, he's been staying in communication with the internet via Starlink the entire time. It's pretty dang cool.
Right here.
Him and his cat named Oliver. Oh, sorry, right him. Cat named Phoenix. Sorry.
I like his caption here. Dear corporate America, I won.
Totally. And the funniest thing about that is like along the way he got sponsored by Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah, because you got look, Discount Tires in the comments. Everybody's been watching him, so like he's actually making money by doing this, which is kind of poetic.
That is hilarious.
But
good for him.
It's really cool. But yes, shout out to Starlink, because yeah, he's been, you know, from his phone, just chatting along the way.
Interesting. Good for him. Good for him in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I wanted to talk about was, I don't know if you heard, Chase, but New Jersey's pissed off at Elon Musk.
What? This is news to me.
What else is new, right? Someone is pissed off at Elon Musk. But New Jersey is pissed off, and they will not renew 64 superchargers on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Crazy.
They essentially just said, we're not going to renew them. And obviously this is, I mean, you're talking about millions upon millions of dollars of infrastructure that was put into place, millions and millions of dollars that's going to be spent to replace it with, because that's their plan, is to replace it with a different charging network. And supposedly just because of our good friend, Mr. Musk.
But it doesn't make any sense because that's a tollway. So they're also like losing money by doing this. It doesn't make any sense.
They don't care about money. It's all the taxpayers' money anyways. They don't care about money. What they care about is their revenge at Mr. Musk and how much they dislike this guy.
Wasting more money to even rip him out.
Well, Tesla actually
they responded.
Had a response to this. It says, the New Jersey Turnpike Authority has chosen a sole third-party charging provider to serve the New Jersey Turnpike and is not allowing us to co-locate. As a result, NJTA requested 64 existing supercharger stalls on the New Jersey Turnpike to not be renewed and be decommissioned. We have been preparing for 3 years for this potential outcome by building 116 stalls off the New Jersey Turnpike, ensuring no interruption for our customers. The map below outlines existing da-da-da. But yeah, obviously... I guess Governor Murphy, states down here, decided that they were going to go ahead and...
I wonder if it's not necessarily a fight between, like, what Elon's doing and, like, political jabs, but I wonder if it's a disagreement on NACs and adapters.
Or it could just be someone's putting money in his pocket going,
100%.
Hey, you know, get rid of them and put us in there.
If another third party is going to facilitate the EV chargers, are they going to have NACS chargers available along with CCS? Like, what's the story there? Like, so if they're going to have chargers, just not Tesla?
Yeah, I don't think they want the Tesla chargers in there. You can even see Elon commented on this. He says, it sounds like corruption.
There you go. Yeah, that's just... Yeah, that's weird. But who wants to drive through New Jersey anyways?
That's a good comeback. I like that. I like that a lot. So, yeah, I just I found that really interesting that it's gotten to that point where people are just going, yeah, you know what? Remove those superchargers. We're not going to renew it. Let's put something else in there. So what are you going to do?
Speaking of charges, I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the one that I posted in the chat about instead of posting their Facebook, how about I'll just link you Chris's video. Or you can go pull up the website. I'll mention it. So Chris Bow has a Bow Family EV up on YouTube, has a really good video where he visits this one. But it's one of the first mom and pop EV charging stations there in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Franklin's Charging, run by a guy named, I believe it's TJ, if I'm remembering that correctly. But he visits them and he set up kind of what we've been talking about, a little kind of oasis where, you know, it's not just a gas station, you know, you can come in, get some coffee, hang out for a little bit, but has some decent charge stops. And he has this location and then has also opened up another location in Little Rock. So it's kind of like a little tiny little group of hometown charging stations. So if you're ever through Little Rock, it'd definitely be a cool place to stop through.
Yeah, go through Little Rock. Don't go through New Jersey.
Detour around New Jersey through Little Rock and then get to New York. Yeah.
Sure. If that's the quickest way to get there.
Right.
But yeah, okay. That's cool. That's I mean, I like it. I like the little, mm-hmm. you know, has a cool little look to it and vibe.
Yeah. I think it's just starting the trend because honestly, I think they're using ChargePoint chargers. And it's not like this is
ChargePoint.
This is that difficult to do as long as you can obviously have the right power draw, but this mm-hmm. is a great idea for, you know, a startup. You don't need to jump through the hoops for a convenience station or a typical gas station that you could, as long as you have the power to be able to set up an EV charging stop, you know. Possibilities are endless, really, for it.
It's something that we've talked about many times on the podcast that I think there was even a report one time that I read that talked about how by 2030, I believe, there's going to be triple or quadruple the amount of EV stations as opposed to gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already seeing it. There's a lot of this, right? A lot of these little stations popping up. I know here in California, Rove is one that they opened up in Santa Ana, and I believe they're planning on opening a few more. And you're going to get a lot more of those, you know. It's not going to just be the Tesla superchargers. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, which Rove has Tesla superchargers there. But then there's also,
I think this one too had a V2 there as well.
Yeah, so that's going to be popping up. That's going to be probably investment opportunities, right? There's going to mm-hmm. be people that are going to sit there and say, hey, we want to open a business. What should we open? Open an EV charging station.
Yeah.
You know, a little convenience store, coffee shop, a little, you know, sandwich shop or whatever that's built into it. And then also, hey, stop and charge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where charging is going to get a lot more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Because right now it's like you go to the superchargers and you're just kind of just sitting in your car. Yeah, you can walk over to Taco Bell or to Denny's or whatever that's there. But if it's going to be this cute little mom and pop type of shop,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to really enhance the experience because it's going to be a lot more personal. It's not going to be so corporate.
Even a food truck park would be fun.
That would actually be really cool. That would actually be really cool. Well, I think I want to pull this up. I don't know if you remember a few months ago, we talked about the evolution of the chargers and what our dream scenario of having a Waffle House with the EV charging. And then obviously Will took it to a whole other level and added that, hey, if you're going to have the Waffle House, you're going to have your EV charger. Why not have a strip club? And so unfortunately that hasn't happened yet, but as you can see here in this article, a Waffle House has added some EV charging to some of their diners. So it's happening slowly but surely, Will. I know you're going to listen to this at some point. So it's happening.
One more step. That's all we need. One more step.
We just need the strip club to jump on board. Okay.
Smothered, covered, chunked, and char.
That's what it says, and that couldn't go for the strip club as well. But yeah, it's happening. You know, there's mm-hmm. going to be a lot more of that. So that's fun. That's exciting, and that's the evolution and the future of EV charging, in my personal opinion.
Yeah,
I think this whole big, you know, I know Rivian's building out some. Rivian's doing it. Mm-hmm. Rivian's building
there's
out
some little nice outposts ones.
That are pretty cool. You know. I know Tesla's coming out with the diner, right? The diner's mm-hmm. supposed to be coming out, I believe, soon. It's almost completed based off of what I've seen last. So it's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff. The really cool experiences that you're going to get as opposed to what's kind of really out there right now of just going to a place, plugging in, sitting in your car, or going and getting fast food and sitting in your car.
Right.
Hopefully there's going to be more and more of these. But that's all I have. Chase, anything else you have?
I think it's about it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody for joining us, and I appreciate you, Chase.
Cool.
So we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, y'all.